This morning we have a special opportunity to hear a report back and a witness from our mission team that went to Western Pennsylvania, Somerset, Pennsylvania. Doug Beekler, our missions chair, has been doing a great job in encouraging mission, and this really is a big part of our vision and purpose here at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. I'm going to invite Doug and all of our mission team to come on up. Doug has been working together with Freddie Fiorentino and the ministry that he is generating of Cypress Ministries, and so we felt that the best way to give glory to God and to encourage all of our congregation in this vision to be in outreach and mission to all the world, whether it be in Haiti or Africa or New Jersey or Pennsylvania, we have been blessed to be a blessing. So I'm going to turn things over to Doug and Freddie at this point and let them share with us.
Thank you, Alan. Good morning, St. Paul's. As Pastor said, we had a terrific mission trip to Somerset, Pennsylvania here at the end of April. It was billed as a family mission trip, and we had three complete families. We had Alvarez and two other families from different churches that came along, which really presented a very rich dynamic to a mission trip. You know, mission trip, there's pounding nails and painting and the physical labor of it. But when you go on a mission trip, one of the biggest things you do is you learn about and enrich relationships with the people that are on the trip with you and the people you meet in the mission field. And this trip, particularly for me, was the latter of learning about and becoming friends with deeper relationships with the people that were on the trip with us. And as I look back at some of the other mission trips I've been on in the past, from the Haiti trip and other mission trips, they've actually, formed the basis of true friendships, long-lasting friendships, that carry on in life, whether it's been Haiti or Greenbrier, the working with these people and learning with them and praying with them, it enriches your life a lot. And you learn other intricacies also about the people you go with. For instance, I learned that TJ snores. And I learned that Lily likes to fish in the rain, which we're gonna have to work on that a little bit. Fishing in the rain is not a fun thing to do. But I want to turn it over and hopefully some other folks come up here and share just a little bit about their trip. It was a very enriching trip. The little skit that they did here was very impactful to some teens that we visited in a teen home. At the end of that skit, the skit wasn't narrated for the teens, by the way. And when that little skit was over, a little short 2-minute skit was over, it prompted a discussion of Christ. And I was watching the moderator of this little group, and the look on her face, she was just surprised. It's the first time that this group of teens, which she's been living with in this house for months, some kids for years, it's the first time that they've openly spoke about Jesus in the community room there. And it was prompted by our kids right here in our mission trip. It was a real Christ moment to see that happen. And that's what mission's about for me.
Snore.
That's a lie. Okay. That's all I'm saying. When I went on the mission trip, it was a good time. We had a lot of fun. But on the side of that, we had work to do, a lot of work. So right out of the gate, we had to unpack and then get right to work. There was no lazy time, no nothing. You had to go right to work because we had to get everything done. There was a specific time that we had to get through to finish all the projects that I had done. There was a lot of stuff that we had to do. It was very impactful because I met a lot of people and a lot of people touched me, but I got touched back by a lot of people and I touched people all over from everywhere. I've heard, met people from, the Children's Aid Home, the homeless hospital that we went to, even the people at the ranch. They were just caring and people that wanted to learn about God and wanted to share His word to people that didn't know Him or that were getting to learn about Him. And it was a good time.
So this was actually my first mission trip, and it was really amazing. All of the people there were so nice to us, and there was a lot of work that had to be done. I mainly did painting, and I actually felt like I got to know everyone a little bit better. I also learned that apparently I sleep talk and sleep yell at my brother. So the children's aid home that we went to, it was just a really amazing experience because I didn't really think that those kids would actually get into it at first, in all honesty. And then all their reactions to it were just absolutely amazing. And all the people there are actually two little girls who were there that, I ended up babysitting a bit. They were a lot of fun there too. They helped a lot, which I was surprised with because they were little and they had a lot of energy. So, yeah.
So what I learned on this trip was, this is my second mission trip. This was very impactful for me. It kind of brought home, we're not here to serve Jesus just coming on Sunday. We're here to serve Jesus in other ways, like going on mission trips. But it's not just working. It's touching lives. It's actually going to, like they said, the children's aid home and touching their lives, speaking the word of Jesus to them, which normally they don't really have. There was one person who I'm still praying for and have written to at the children's aid home. Her name was Destiny. And she sat and I listened for probably about 15 to 20 minutes about her story. Her story of neglect and her drug abuse, her alcoholism, her abuse from her father. She had been to jail. She just needed somebody to listen. And when she was done, she had spoken about living in this home for probably about 4 or 5 months. And she had been clean that entire time. And she was writing a book of her story, of her life. And I told her that she needed to know that Jesus loved her and Jesus was with her and was going to help her when she moved out of this children's aid home. And I explained to her some things about the Bible and some scripture, and I continue to write to her and pray for her. So I ask each of you to reach in the bottom of your heart and find where you have that room to give to others, not only in service, but in faith and in giving Jesus' word. And that was how, there's so many other things that I could go on, but I don't have time, but it really, this mission trip was just so much more than service. It was impactful to me. It has laid on my heart what so many others are going through and how lucky we are truly to be here and in the situation that we have.
Thank you for allowing us to do that film. As these guys are going back and before we go to scripture, I just want to make sure a couple of those people look familiar, huh? I mean, remember Norris and all that crew, but I just want to share with you one other thing. You saw some Haiti pictures up there. Let me make sure you fully understand that without the leadership and the love and the dedication of Doug and Sharon, those pictures wouldn't have been up there. So they were so kind to invite Cypress and me on the trip to be a part of that. So that trip, I praise God for the two people that have a vision for Haiti. And the Greenbrier, don't think the job would have got done except for the team that came from here and worked feverishly like a full-time job for months. So just make sure, first of all, you know that everything is about the cross, like the prayer, Bill Proper's prayer this morning in the office. It's all about the cross. So please don't ever think that we're up here, you know, tooting our horn. It's a mission Sunday. Oh, man. The church's job is missions. It doesn't mean that missions is the most important ministry. It is the ministry of the church. And then from that, you have other ministries in the church that produce a missions mentality, right? Mission trip doesn't change your life. Jesus changes your life. Mission trip is an extension of what Jesus is doing in our lives. Remember, we have the unlimited resource of forgiveness. It's an unlimited resource because we've been forgiven. So what are we doing with that forgiveness? Well, for some of us, we go and we travel and we serve. For some, we do the work here at the church and we do it phenomenally. We do it like professionals because we're supposed to. And so each one of us have a gift. I pray that by the end of this service that you find out what that gift is, whatever it may be, and pinpoint it and then do it. Just a simple thing, because this is a simple verse we're gonna go into. So the scripture today, and I have, now Al says I have an hour and a half, we're pushing the 10:30 service to 12 o'clock, so I hope you don't mind. You know what I love when I say that? You get a lot of the laughter, but then you get that nervous laughter, like, is he really telling the truth here? No, I promise that I'll be short, I have my clock right here. I like to keep track of time, I think it's important that we respect each other's time. But also allow for the fact that we did go on a trip. And so there's two types of people here. There's the people that go on the trip and say, we're so excited. And some of us are like, okay, we get it. It's like the grandfather that has 90 pictures of his grandkids, you know. But allow that. But then the people who went on a trip, allow for the people that didn't go a chance to catch their breath. You know what I'm saying? It's a give and take in everything we do. The scripture today is in John chapter 9. And I'm going to read the five verses, and I'm going to jump to 25, and then spend a little time with you about why Cypress really, this is the scripture that gets me thinking about what Cypress is all about. And by the way, the video, I want to thank my son Paulie, who put it together for me. That's why he was a little bit heavy on my photos. I'm sorry, it's a nepotism thing. He liked my photos. And Maureen, who is here, and I just want to thank her, too, for being a big part, because administratively, we won't go there, so we'll just stop there. She's just really good at what she does. John chapter 9, verse 1, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And a lot happens in between these verses. A ton of stuff happens. The parents come in, confirm his blindness. They're arguing about who's did what did who, how did this guy do that? He's a sinner. He's doing it on the Sunday. It can't be done. A lot going on. A lot of arguing. And then in verse 25, the simplest statement I've ever heard. And it's the best witness I can ever think of, because while we should know our faith and we should know something about what we believe, man, there's nothing greater than the simplicity of our faith. And look what he says in verse 25. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. Now, you have to remember something, and I'm going to interweave a lot of stuff here, because the trip, there's a lot of pictures that weren't on there. Kids climbing ladders, working with tools, working with saws, putting ceramic tile down, climbing. I mean, just so much going on this trip. And the first thing I want to say is that thank you for allowing this to be something that happened. There was two other families that aren't here. They couldn't make it today. And so it was four families all together. They took their whole family. You sold two little girls there, Eric and Katie's little girls, Marilyn and Evie. And then there was Armando and Myra and Kim. Wonderful people from other churches working together. And you know what? 5 days, nobody talked about our church. Nobody talked about who's doing what at their church. All we did was focus, laser focus on what had to be done. As TJ said, we got out of the vans, we put our bags in the thing, and we were working, and we worked till about 7 o'clock that night, and we were happy about it. I don't get that happy when I work at my house. Right? You go home after work, like, oh, gosh, I got to do the... But there's a spirit within that. So in chapter 8, and again, I'm going to be real careful with my time here, but in chapter 8, that's like an all-star chapter. Woman comes, adulterous woman. Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go on your way. He says the remarkable statement of, I am the light of the world. That's a remarkable statement Jesus is making. And when he said that, you got to remember that Jesus, as a lot of the world will now talk to you about, he's not a theory. Jesus isn't an idea. He isn't a good guy that, you know, hung around. Jesus is the savior of the universe, of the world. He came to live inside of us and dwell inside of us. Jesus is not someone that we just kind of go, yeah, he's here. No, man, this is a guy who made phenomenal comments. And then all of a sudden, he says in chapter 9 that he was walking through. They were going to stone him in chapter 8. And the guy, Jesus had the idea of, I'm going to stop and I'm going to see and heal and do something about this man born blind. And this is where Cyprus becomes very simple. We're not going to be spending a lot of time in our ministry talking about issues and political issues. And I know there's a lot out there. But here is my mantra from now on. God will figure it all out at the end. And in the meantime, I'm going to try and help and be kind to as many people as humanly possible while I'm on this earth. That's it. Now, that might not be good for some because they want, well, where do you stand on? Where do you stand on? Where do you stand on? Well, the disciples did this. Hey, Jesus, we're going to impress you. Can you imagine this? They're trying to impress the creator of the universe. They're trying to impress the man who raises people from the dead. And they're asking him a question, who sinned? The man or his parents? Which means he had a sin before he was born. Go figure. Now, the Bible teaches that we are all born in sin, and so that's why we need a Savior, right? We're hopefully in agreement with that. There's some things we should definitely be in agreement with. But they tried to impress him. And Jesus said, in other words, why don't you guys try to figure that out? I'm going to go do what I was meant to do. I'm going to actually go do something about this man born blind. And so while the churches are trying to figure out what they believe and what they're doing and all the things that are going on in the church. Let me read something from Charles Spurgeon. It's one of my favorite things I've ever read. And I'm telling you, it's so good because it talks about what our role should really be. Jesus was often reviled but never ruffled. One of the things worthy to be noticed in our Lord's character is his wonderful quiet of spirit, especially in his marvelous calmness in the presence of those who misjudged, insulted, and slandered him. Then it says, Jesus will soon show a different way. He won't dwell on the theological puzzle, but an actual helping of the man. It is ours not to speculate, but to perform acts of mercy and love according to the tenor of the gospel. Let us then be less inquisitive and more practical, less for cracking doctrinal nuts and more for bringing forth the bread of life to the starving multitudes. That's where we should be. That's what Cyprus Missions is about. That's what we're finally starting to see happen is by taking other churches that we're putting aside those differences and going and help people. Because I can tell you right now, the kids in Haiti, they're not asking us where we go to church. There's nothing going on that even remotely sounds like something of competition. And I think this church, for the most part, is doing a good job of that because obviously I'm here and I don't attend here. By the way, I was on my way here, side note, and I went, you know, 1996 used to sound like it was, I don't know, a couple days ago, a couple years ago, whatever. Holy mackerel was 23 years ago. 1996 was when I was here as a youth pastor. If you don't know that, that's what I did here for 3 years. But the roots run deep. Why do they run deep? Because even though we've had differences, it doesn't matter. We're here for a single purpose, to bring this good news of the gospel of Christ to people. And that's why we do this, because if you look at what he says, now think about it, He could have said so many things besides, I just know one thing, I was born. He could have said, well, he spat on the ground. He picked some dirt up and he spit on it, and then he rubbed it, and then he rubbed his eyes. It's pretty gross. I mean, listen, I got a sister who's like major OCD. She would have been, no, I'd rather be blind. You're not touching me with your spit. I mean, there's a lot going on here. Like, we think just because it's the Bible that this stuff wasn't around. I'm sure there were some OCD people back in the Bible times. Come on, there had to be. We just call it something now, right? Right? I mean, seriously. We're all humans, so humans have been the same from the beginning of time till now, so we should read the Bible as if it's today, right? Instead of thinking like it's the movie on TV with Jesus and the good blue eyes and the beautiful hair and everything's perfect and his feet don't stink. I mean, come on. Right? Seriously, though. And that's how we got to read the Bible. But here's what's important about that. He could have said that. But the guy knew, I think, who he was dealing with. When he picked up that dirt, it reminds me of the story. You probably heard this before, where the smartest man in the world dies and goes to heaven, says he wants to compete with God. I want a contest with God right now. He goes, okay, bring him to God. God, I bet you I can create something faster than you can. God's like, okay, let's go. So the guy bends down, picks up some dirt, and God says, oh, no, you pick up your own dirt. God created the dirt. And so when we sit and we look at the simplicity of the gospel, we look at something that is so crazy simple, and here's what it is. Cyprus Missions is about one thing, going and helping other people in the name of our Lord and Savior and Creator, Jesus Christ. God gave us this spirit. I'm going to read one more quote, and then I'm going to have I think Alan comes up. Is that right? Try to get the order of sequence here. So this next quote is very important because it talks about what it is that we're supposed to be doing on a daily basis. And this is from Scripture. Colossians 4:5, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let me tell you about the team that went. This trip is not successful without that team. This trip is zero without that team. This team came together, and I'm telling you, for 5 days, I saw John, I saw Doug, laser focus on trimming, I don't know, was it like 7,000 windows? I don't even know how many it was at this point. There was just so many windows, and they just kept to it. The very next day, in fact, the next day, 2 hours later, by the way, guys, I got another job for you. What is it? You got to fix all the electrical in the whole camp. And they're like, okay, boom, they went to it, and they got it done. Eric Daniels came, and you see how God works. We needed a plumber. We had no licensed plumber. Eric Daniels came, and I didn't realize how good he was at plumbing. He fixed at least, I don't even know how many, 20 things that were seriously wrong with the place. This team came together for 5 days, and all we did was work, focus, praise God, and I'm telling you, it's something that happens when you go on a trip. Again, I'm going to say it again, and I'll repeat it, and then I'll close this out. Mission trips do not change your life. Oh, I've seen them change lives. I would guess, I don't know, hundreds of people I've taken on trips. Some of your children I've taken on trips. And I'm telling you that they change the heart, they change the mind, they change the way we think. But it's because of who Christ is, not because we go help somebody. We don't want the glory, it's just that we have to do this, because in the book of Acts it says that when they come back from a mission trip, they're supposed to report to the church about what they did. And that's what we're doing today. And so in recapping this whole thing, John chapter 9 is a simplistic way of how we should live our lives. If you have ever said these words, you know, I'd really like to go on a trip. I'm just not sure I can swing it. I would love to have a conversation with you and talk about the things that are going on in my life and let you know that none of that matters. I am not up here because I got my spiritual ducks in order. I am not up here because, oh, I had the greatest thought process this week. I am not up here because I had a great week with my wife. I was so patient with everybody. I'm up here because of the magnificent grace of the Almighty Father through His Son, Christ. That's it. And when you go on a trip, those things start emerging inside of you because you're away from all of this. And all of a sudden you start talking about things that you probably don't talk about. And that's what happens on these trips. So first and foremost, I want to thank you for letting me be a part of the missions organization here. And I thank Doug and Sharon, and I thank Alan. I know for a fact that as a pastor, this is not always the easiest thing to give the pulpit up. I know that for a fact. I've been involved in enough churches to know that that's a tough thing. I want to thank the Wednesday night crew that lets me come on Wednesday nights to talk. And that's the, that crew is great. I love the Wednesday night service, and thank you for letting me be a part of that. But most of all, I want to thank the Lord for allowing me all these years of still wanting to be in service, because I keep it simple. All I know is this. Once I was blind, and now I see. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the words you've given. I thank you for the team that was so great in sharing, and they did it with such heartfelt attitudes. I thank you for the skit. I thank you for the team that went. I thank you for the people there, the children's aid home, those people, those kids that looked at us and were wondering what the heck we're even doing there. And yet, Lord, they were touched in a very significant, mighty way. I thank you for Mark and Jason, the leaders of the of Teen Quest, and I pray that you would continue this relationship with them. Most of all, Lord, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for putting me into service, and I pray that I always, always and foremost give you the glory and the honor, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Freddie. Going when and where God calls us is right at the heart of what we're called to be and do as a church. And the opportunity to hear how God has used some of us is an encouragement to all of us to serve and witness wherever He calls. God has called every one of us. Perhaps on a future mission trip, the teens are going to be going on a mission trip up to Rochester, New York this summer. Encourage them, pray for them, send them, and look for opportunities yourselves, whether it be Lexington House, whether it be on a missions trip. Whatever it is, God can use every single one of us, and this is why we're here. God has blessed us to be a blessing. I'm going to say that over and over and over again till we get it. And I want to thank all of you guys who went on this trip for being representatives of St. Paul's and for sharing your witness with us as you have come back. It's an encouragement to all of us and a reminder of what we're called to do. Folks have said, Lord, here am I. Send me. And we want to close our service singing that great hymn, Here I Am, Lord. Let's join in singing hymn number 593 in the red hymnal and sing that as a prayer. Let's stand together.